I must tell Jesus. I guess sometimes we all feel like that, don't we? I must tell Jesus. That was beautifully played, wasn't it, by Yolanda? Tremendous. You know, whenever I see someone play a musical instrument, I'm very, very envious. And I just hope that when I get to heaven, that I will see a violin over there, I'll see a piano over there, and I'll just begin to play it without having to learn anything. Wouldn't that be great? I know a lot of work and effort has gone into that. Well done, Yolanda. That was well played, and it really blessed us, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I wish you a very happy Sabbath, and it's good to be here with you today. Very cold day, but it's very warm in here. It's good to know that our new boiler is working, isn't it? And it really is working. I came out of here last week and was really hot. But it's good to know that the Lord is blessing us and keeping us and allowing us to worship in an atmosphere of comfort and peace. Now, as is our custom, before the sermon, we've got the children's questions. So we'd like to give these out. If you're aged between 6 and 12, please, you're free to answer these questions. In June, the best person, well, not the best person, but the person who has done the best will get a special prize. So, raise your hand if you'd like one of these. Remember, I'm outside at the end of the service, out there. Just give it in. Remember to put your name nice and clearly on the top so I can read it. Okay. Now, before we go into the sermon today, though, I just want to remind us a little something about tithes and offerings so that we know exactly what tithes and offerings mean and where they actually go. When we pay tithe is 10% of our income, and that money goes straight to the conference and is used to pay all the workers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the way it works is it goes right the way up to GC. Do you know where GC is? America, yes. But more specifically, in America, where? Give you a clue, it's where Donald Trump is. Very close to there anyway. Washington, D.C., because there is the Seventh-day Adventist headquarters. And so all the tithe we give goes right the way up there, and then it's dispersed throughout the world field to all the workers. So remember, tithe then, when you pay tithe, it goes to the conference. It does not come to the local church. Now, as a church here at Bedford, we do really well with tithe. We've got a tremendous record with tithe. It seems that most people pay a very faithful tithe, which is fantastic, really good. Now, offerings, when we pay offerings go to the local church. So when you pay an offering, it goes towards the upkeep and expense of the local church. And of course, the boiler was included in that, and many other things that take place, the departmental budgets and everything that takes place at a local level. Now, we've set a budget this year of £26,000 of money we believe will come in to provide all the services we need for the church to function. Now, last year we received, I believe, just over £16,000. So we're setting a kind of faith goal, if you like, of an extra £10,000. Now, we've looked at working with the Treasury Department and working with Church Board, we've looked at the figures and so forth, and what we're noticing is that we're a little bit short. When it comes to offerings, we are a little bit short in our operating expenses. And I've actually worked out, I'm not a very good mathematician, but I've actually worked out we need to set a target of offerings of £2,170 every month in order for the church to function. Now, at the moment, we receive something like 1,700 to 1,800. So there is a shortfall there. You can see of about £500. Now, I've worked it out that, therefore, individually, we have a church of about 160 members. Individually, we need to increase our offering by £6 per month. Is that a lot of money? It's not a great amount, is it? And if you bring it down, it's £1.50 per week. If everyone gave just that little extra, we would meet our target. So to please bear that in mind. We're hoping to publish in the bulletin, certainly on a monthly basis, the amount of offering that has come in and whether it's reached the actual target. So you'll be able to look and gauge to see whether that is happening. Thirdly, I'd like to mention gift aid. And gift aid, most people know about gift aid. It's actually a government scheme for all charities. And the idea is that for every pound you give, 25 pence comes back to the giver. And it benefits the charity. Now, that means that when you give of your gift aid, whether it be tithe or offering, that money will come back to the conference, and some of that also comes back to the local church. So, if you're not on the gift aid scheme, and by the way, to be on the gift aid scheme, you do need to be a taxpayer. But if you're a taxpayer and you're not on the gift aid scheme, please speak to either Rosie or Sabina, and they will be able to guide you and help you understand what it means. I can't go through all the details now, but it really does help the church because it comes back to the church. And you don't pay anything extra. You just sign up and you're saying that I wish for every pound I give for 25 pence to come back. Okay, now this month is February, you may have noticed. And you may have noticed because it's February, it is still pretty cold. Now, this month, though, if you're not already aware, has been designated Family Month. Family Month. So during this month, and I believe even the first week of March, there'll be an emphasis on family life and marriage, singleness, and that type of thing. And today, what we're doing, we're zeroing in on singleness, being single. And therefore today, there's going to be an emphasis on that. This afternoon, we'll be looking at principles in choosing a life partner. Principles in choosing a life partner. So that's this afternoon. I believe we start at 3:30 this afternoon on that one. But this morning, or this afternoon now, I want to speak to you on being single. Is it okay to be single? What do we mean by being single? Well, what we actually mean is that you are not married. You may be divorced even, or you may be a widow or a widower. You may be a single parent. All those categories come under the theme of being single. Is it okay to be single? Or is it God's plan that everyone should be married? That's the question I want to answer today in the few moments that we have. I once knew a man who believed that it wasn't biblical for anyone to remain single. And if he saw in his church anyone who was single, he would try to match them up with someone as best as he could. And he would often quote from Genesis, where God said to Adam, "It is not good for man to be alone." And therefore, he took that and he said, right, everyone who's single must be matched up with someone because it is not good for man or woman to be alone. Is that correct theology? Is that right? Is it okay to be single? You know, in our society today, to be single is to be different, perhaps. For most people, being single isn't what they planned. So they are left with hounding questions. What is God doing with my life? Why doesn't he give me what I want? Does he really love me? Why has he blessed most of my friends with the very thing that I want? Why has he left me out? And those questions can go through a single person's mind. Sometimes they feel lonely. Sometimes they are jealous. Sometimes they feel abandoned. They aren't content. And it seems impossible that they ever could be. Oh yes, they have good days. They go on mission trips, get involved in their church, go to Bible studies, buy houses, throw barbecues, do all kinds of things. But sometimes, amongst all that activity, there lurks in the corners of their minds, is this God's plan for my life? Or do I need to find someone? Sometimes what can happen that makes life even harder is in one summer, they may get 5 wedding invitations in the course of one summer. That doesn't make them feel any better sometimes. Some singles take it harder than others. Some are an emotional mess, and they think it's impossible to feel any differently about being single. And so I ask the question again, is it okay to be single? And so I want to, in the next few moments, just tell you the truth about singleness and what God thinks about singleness and being single. Here is truth number one. Truth number one is, you may not get married. There we are. It's a hard fact, but some of us may not get married. It may not happen. The truth is, God hasn't promised any of us marriage. Time after time, we're told, God has someone who will be perfect for you, when God has promised no such thing. God promises to meet our needs. He doesn't promise us a husband or wife. It might take time to process this truth, but we need to sometimes let this sink in and to grieve this potential loss of a dream. But the value in accepting this harsh reality is that it allows you to begin to dream new dreams for your life and to live fully the life you've been given today. And so truth number one is, you may not get married. Number two, you are loved. Sometimes, those of us that are single, we can ask the question, if God loves me, why hasn't he given me a partner? I've been praying for a partner. I've been asking for a partner for a long time, but nothing seems to be happening. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian writer, in his book, The Problem of Pain, said something very interesting about the definition of love. And he starts off by saying that our definition of love is wrong. He says we talk about a loving God, but what we really want when we say that is a senile, grandfatherly kind of God whose plan for the universe was simply that it might be truly said at the end of each day, a good time was had by all. But Lewis goes on to explain that God's love is truer and fiercer than that. The kind of love a supreme artist lavishes on his ultimate creation, a creation that he wants to mold and shape into the image of Christ. And so the fact is, sometimes God loves us so much and he sees each one of us as individuals. Sometimes he may see a person who may be praying to get married, praying for a partner, but God says it's better for you to remain single, because I can actually develop you better in your singleness than if you got married. You see, the fact is, if God hasn't given you a husband or wife at this point in your life, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you or has forgotten you. It means that God in his love is using your singleness to mold and shape you to become more like him. The fact is, some people do get married. Some people don't get married. But a person who doesn't get married is not to think they're any less than people who get married. Point number three, when you are single, you can be content. Many of us believe that to be content, one of two things must happen. We must get married, or we must purge ourselves of any desire to ever be married. Either way, our definition of contentment is completely wrong. Contentment doesn't eliminate your desires. You can be content today as a single and still want to get married someday. Christ was content going to the cross, but he didn't really want to go. He wanted to do the Father's will, and that desire overshadowed everything else. Contentment is a decision. It is not a feeling. It's a determination to be satisfied with what God has given you today. Because of this, it's possible to be content in your single state. If you practice contentment today, you'll be better prepared for whatever life may bring your way. You know, my friends, I've met people in my life, many single people, who are desperate to get married. They will do anything. They will meet up with anyone and marry anyone just to be married, because they have this illusion that once I'm married, I will be happy. I will be content. Life will be fantastic. Life will be great. And they go into it with rose-colored spectacles. Have you heard that expression? In other words, everything looks rosy until actually a year down the line, you wish you stayed single. Some people have this wrong idea that they must partner with someone or life will not be worth living. But my friends, sometimes you can be far happier being single than being married. And I'll tell you why. If when you're married, if you hook up with someone who is not a good person, marriage can be hell. But on the other hand, marriage can be heaven. It can be a wonderful thing. It's either one or the other. And so marriage is not the route to utopia. The route to utopia is Jesus. He is the one. He is the only one who can satisfy our true longings, our true wants and desires. He is the one who provides happiness, whether you are single or whether you are married. So be content where you are. You know, God has a plan for our lives. And sometimes it's better to just let God plan rather than we trying to strategize everything and do everything thinking we know best. You know, another thing I've observed too. What I've observed is when people are desperate to find someone, they actually scare people away. Did you know that? Because it's so obvious that they are looking that everyone they meet realizes it and they run. And sometimes people are scared away. What I've observed also is when a single person is content with who they are and they're developing who they are, they actually attract people without knowing it. And sometimes they actually meet someone. Not that they were particularly looking, but they found someone anyway. Because it just worked out. They had the same interests, the same type of outlook on life, the same belief system, and they said, wow, this is the person for me. Remember I told you the story? Remember that story? Yeah. Remember I didn't want to get married, did I? I wanted to be single like the Apostle Paul. But God had other plans. So I wasn't looking for anyone, and Lynette wasn't looking for anyone. But hey, presto, we found each other. And praise God, we've been married 33 years, and it's been wonderful. But that's God's plan for our lives. That's his plan. God's plan for some people's lives is different than for other people's lives. Point number four, you're right where God wants you to be. Let that one sink in. You're right where God wants you to be. Sometimes single people have this false idea that they'll only be complete, even in God, if they get married. And that they're just not complete being single. But that is false. Because you're right where God wants you to be at the time where you are. You see, one of the biggest struggles singles face today is wondering whether they have messed up God's plan for their lives. They sometimes torture their minds. It seems they don't fit into the prescribed pattern for the Christian life. So perhaps they took a wrong turn somewhere. Maybe they went to the wrong school. Maybe they took the wrong job. Maybe they turned someone down for a date when they should have said yes. And they torture themselves with things and places and things they should have done earlier on. But the Bible is completely absent of any admonitions to worry about missing God's will. We are instructed to follow him, but never asked to fret about it. We have to follow him where we are in the present day, at the present time. And not to worry about the past. We may have made mistakes in the past, but God has a way of overriding mistakes we have made. If there's a plan A, God has a plan B. If there's a plan C, God has a plan D, and so on and so on. Never fret about where you are and what I should have done. Where you are right now is where God wants you to be, as long as you are following him and putting him first in your life. You see, we're presented really with a picture of God who's quite able to move us from place to place if we're not where we ought to be. We see that in the Bible, don't we? By natural means. Remember, he called Mary and Joseph back to Bethlehem. They were guided that way. Or even by supernatural means, as he did with Philip, when he supernaturally transported him after his meeting with the Ethiopian eunuch. God is continually leading his people. Where you are is the place where God wants you to be. Point number five, to those of us that are single, you have no need to be ashamed. Because sometimes single people feel that. They feel ashamed. They feel they shouldn't be in this place. They feel that eyes are watching them and that people are looking down on them. They may feel awkward when they walk into church alone, as though there's something wrong with them for not being attached to someone else. You know, there's a Christian writer by the name of Albert Sue. Albert Sue. And he goes into detail in his book called Singles at the Crossroads about a family-orientated culture at the time of Christ and the New Testament era. And he goes on to describe the fact that when Jesus came into this world, the culture was very, very family-orientated. Even the priests got married and the religious leaders. And there was almost a kind of stigma in his day about being single. Did Jesus get married? No. He walked into that arena, into that family-based culture, and retained his dignity, kept his mission, and was effective where he was. And Jesus, for us that are single, he is our role model. Because he wasn't ashamed. He knew who he was, linked with the Father. And if you know who you are in Christ, there is nothing to worry about. You are right where God wants you to be. In fact, it's interesting. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul almost encourages being single. You ever read that? Ever noticed that? Let's have a look at that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 onwards, it said, look, Paul says to the Corinthian believers, he said, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in the right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Very interesting that the Apostle Paul almost there is encouraging being single and how you have more time, in a sense more freedom, to give yourself to the Lord and what he wants you to do. Number six. Marriage isn't better or worse than singleness. It is just different. Being married is not a better state of existence. It's just different. Is it better to remain single than link up with the wrong person? Marriage is either heaven or hell. Like I said before, if you view singleness correctly, it can always be heaven. If you make it that way, being married is no guarantee of happiness. You know, sometimes what I observe as well is that when people get to a certain age, maybe they're coming into their 30s, approaching 40, and they're not married, there's a panic sets in. Panic. And the reason for that panic is, if I don't get married soon, it never will happen. And I'll never be able to have children. And there's almost a desperate thing happening. And what I've seen happening is people linking up with anyone. Well, I've got to get married to someone, so he'll do or she'll do. Usually it's he'll do, because in the church there's not many men, are there? And so usually a woman becoming 30, 35, 40, oh, he's not married, he'll do. And yet it could be the worst thing they ever did. Never rush into marriage when you know deep down inside it's going to be a disaster. See, the problem is that we convince ourselves and say, well, yeah, I'm going to get married to him, but when I marry him, I'll change him. I'll change him. No, you cannot change anybody. Only Jesus can change us. And if a person's not willing to be changed by Jesus, you're on a losing battle, my friends. It's better to remain single than link up with someone who's only 50% of the person you want to link up with. Number 7, you can change the way you feel about being single by changing the way you think about being single. I'll say that again. You can change the way you feel about being single by changing the way you think about being single. Most of us believe in general that we can't control our feelings. Actually, it is possible to change the way you feel. Your thoughts and feelings are intricately connected. To be emotionally healthy, your thoughts must be full of truth. If you think that your married friends are better off, that God has overlooked you, that you've missed his plan for your life, you will be miserable. If, on the other hand, you know you're right where God wants you to be, that being unattached isn't a badge of shame, that marriage doesn't bring instant fulfillment, your emotions will be transformed. And so, my friends, if you find yourself single today, for whatever reason, maybe that you've never married, maybe you find that your husband or wife has passed away, maybe you're a single mother, maybe you're divorced, I say to you, praise God for who you are. Stand tall. Tip your head up high when you walk into a room. You are right where God wants you to be. And it doesn't make you less of a person because you're not married. Stand tall. You know, in John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said a very profound statement in that particular verse. You remember what he said? He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Did he just say that to married people? No. He didn't just, he said that to everyone. So whether you are single or married, when you come to accept Jesus, when you let him into your life, you will then live the abundant life. It will happen. There's no other prerequisite. There's no other qualification. To have an abundant life, to have a joyful life, means linking up with Jesus. And I will say this, yes, it is necessary to be married, but married to Jesus. That is necessary. And that is where we find our true happiness and fulfillment. So I say to us that are single today, rejoice in the freedom of singleness. Rejoice in who you are. Rejoice in who you are in God. Some of you may get married. Wonderful. Make sure you choose the right person. We'll speak more about that this afternoon. But rejoice. Some of you may not get married. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. That is God's plan for your life. Just accept it and be joyful and be happy. My friends, we serve a God who is attempting to rescue us from sin. Let us not make his job harder by making wrong choices, but let us stand tall, let us stand firm in who we are, and let us say, Lord, wherever you lead, I am willing to go. Whatever you say to me, I'm willing to do. Because at the end of the day, I want to get to heaven and I want to live with you throughout eternity. Praise God, I say. Praise God for the singles in our society who add so much to our society and community and can do many more things that married people cannot do. In fact, they complement each other. Married people, single people working together is a powerful good, and I believe it is part of God's plan.